In a small gathering at Nome's mini convention center, commissioners heard about the mental health services available in the Norton Sound, the Bering Strait, and the Northwest Arctic, as well as sobering statistics as to the very real challenges that residents face, chief among them suicide and other issues related to violence impacting young people, specifically young men. It's a similar pattern seen across the Arctic, one that Lisa Ilana Strickling, working in wellness development at regional nonprofit Kowarik, says is tied to the recent history and loss of identity of Native people.
A lot of communities see suicide, domestic violence, child abuse, alcohol, substance use, those things as symptoms of a larger, deeper issue related to colonization, related to historical trauma, to the decades of discrimination, decades of oppression, marginalization. These things are kind of manifestations of that long-term kind of being held down as a people.
Mental health professionals say they're not just studying the causes, but also working on practical solutions. In addition to substance abuse, therapy, and other services on offer at Norton Sound and in Manilik in Northwest Arctic, researchers say simple steps can reduce a young person's risk of suicide and other violence. Lisa Wexler, a researcher from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, studying public health and suicide in the Arctic, says summer, when both free time and subsistence are abundant, is when a community can step in and help undo the damage of the past.
Subsistence is expensive, so you have a lot of people who can't get on the land in the summer during those peak subsistence times. So there's a lot of young people in the summer who are attempting suicide. So you can think about employment programs. You can think about different ways to allow them to have access to subsistence or to have access to different kinds of opportunities that might be important for them in growing that sense of identity, that sense of purpose.
But mental health for Arctic residents isn't just a moral imperative. Ella Anagic with the Bering Sea Alliance says it's an economic imperative as well. Representing a group of 7 village corporations in the region, Anagic says another part of the mental health solution comes in offering real economic opportunity. And that, she says, means investment.
Our nation is in dire need of infrastructure development in the Bering Straits. And we have the land base. Wales is at the choke point across from Russia. We have the land base to be able to facilitate and meet not only the needs of our local areas, but also the national needs, and that's why we'd like to work with the federal agencies.
Fran Ulmer, the former state lawmaker and lieutenant governor who now chairs the U.S. Arctic Commission, says the 4 million people living in the circumpolar north demand the discussion about the Arctic's future include not only talk of ports and climate change, but also include a path to wellness and mental health.
What we have heard by talking to people, not just in Alaska, but in Russia, in Canada, and in Greenland, that behavioral and mental health is a growing problem. We are here today in Nome to really get a better understanding of how research can contribute to this problem. What are the methodologies? What are the ways in which the research investments that are made could actually contribute to perhaps some longer-term solutions?
The half-day meeting ended with a tour of Nome's Norton Sound Regional Hospital after an early Bering Sea storm kept the research vessel Sekuliak from making it to Nome's port. The Arctic Research Commission has a final full day in Nome tomorrow, covering local science, federal as well as regional research and renewable energy. In Nome, I'm Matthew Smith.